Hell, I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. I'm Dean Ungler here in Los Angeles. I'm going to hand the introductions over to my co-hosts who are all over the country right now.
Jared, hey, guys. It's Vanessa, all the way from Montreal in my bedroom.
And Jared?
Hello. I'm in D.C.
We're taking the world by storm. We're taking the North America world by storm, at least.
Thank God for technology.
Very special episode for you guys today. Obviously, not only are we all in three separate locations around North America, but we also have Ken Page calling in, who is the author of an incredible new book. We have, obviously, Vanessa in here to vouch for her side of the poop story that we discussed a little bit last week and on Almost Famous podcast. And that was Vanessa pooping still. And we're just going to kind of catch up with everyone and see how everyone's doing. So let's just kind of get right into it.
Well, Dean, happy belated birthday.
Yay! Oh, yeah.
Yay.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for the birthday love. It was, I'm turning 28, so there's not really much reason to celebrate nowadays. But Vanessa, you did something pretty exciting recently.
I did. So I was a gymnast for a couple of years. And then naturally, when the gymnasts from my club quit, they went to Cirque du Soleil to become acrobats. And I was like, oh, I want to become an acrobat. But then it was like, I think about 6 years after I quit gymnastics, I went to the Cirque school. I did the orientation. I walked around the school. I got familiar with the program. And then I'm like, I think I'm just going to go into teaching. And then I went to university. And now, at the age of 31 years old, Cirque du Soleil contacted me. They're like, we'd love to have you in our headquarters, dressed up as one of the acrobats, put the makeup on, put their costume on, and get a training from the professionals. And I was like, oh my God, this is the best day of my life. So I spent the entire day yesterday. Well, it was a morning until late afternoon. And it was everything I could have imagined. My body right now is so sore. I actually did, if you're familiar with gymnastics or the circus like language, I basically like swung. So there was this guy holding me from my hands and he was swinging me and he released me. And then I did a front salto dismount and landed the dismount. Like, wow. I was so shocked.
I don't know what that means.
Neither do I.
So I basically did, you know, like when you do a front roll on the floor.
Yeah, I can do
that. So imagine like a guy swings you in the air and you like you do a front flip and then you land on. And I was like, I don't know how many stories high, but I was like, I had to climb up a ladder. I was like really, really high.
If you had to guess, how high were you?
Oh, man. I was at least two stories, three stories high.
So like 20, 30 feet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Damn.
Or more. Yeah. Anyways, we recorded the whole thing. It was amazing. So this was like one of my dreams. I've been wanting to become an acrobat for years. And they're like, when I was leaving, the coach was like, Vanessa, I think you need to switch careers. I was like, you actually think I can become an acrobat? He's like, yeah, just, you know, a little bit more training. He was this Russian guy. I'm not really good with accents, but he was just like super encouraging. And it's, I don't know if you guys know, but Cirque du Soleil was created from a Montreal troupe. Hmm. So they're Montreal based.
So you got you're a shoo-in. What you're saying.
Yeah, yes. You're homegrown.
Yep.
That's
yep.
crazy. I've never been to a Cirque du Soleil show, but I've heard they're incredible.
They're really great. If you're gonna be I'm sure they have some in LA. Oh, they're traveling to LA. I can get you a backstage tour.
Wow. Can you get me into the thing like you did? Can I participate?
Probably not.
Come on. I'm not very
so hook us up. What are you doing?
I could try. Okay, fine. I could definitely try. But let me tell you, it was everything you know, when you're a little kid, I guess like with sports with you guys, imagine meeting Tom Brady. Jared.
I imagine it every day of my life.
So imagine just like throwing a football with him on a field. That's what it felt like for me.
Okay, so Vanessa, you did the Cirque du Soleil thing. It was my birthday recently. Jared, what the heck are you doing over in D.C.?
You know, I'm taking naps, really. I went to Dunkin' Donuts this morning. It was a pretty good time.
Sounds like you're really just living it up.
Living the life right now. Now, we're over here. We were in New York because Ashley had to go to this bridal fashion week. Mm. And I tagged along because our florists, so we're working with a company called Birch in New York. They're pretty incredible. And they're doing all our florals for the wedding coming up in August. And so they have a warehouse.
Jared, when's your wedding date?
We're not saying the date. We're not saying the venue or the date right now. We're just saying that it's in Newport and it's in Rhode Island because we just don't want to give away any too specifics, you know? Obviously, people will find out where the venue is afterwards, but we're kind of keeping it a little bit of a secret right now. Plus, we haven't even sent out invitations yet, so like, there's so many people that are coming to the wedding that don't even know where it's at. So let's get them knowing where the venue is before we kind of put it out in the world just yet. And we've put out so much for the wedding that it's nice to like keep some things a little bit close to the chest. Anyway, we went to they have a warehouse in Brooklyn. And it was cool because we went into the room and they had the entire room set up as our ballroom. So it was a very surreal moment for both Ashley and I walking in. And they played Titanic. They played the My Heart Will Go On. So it was a very special. I was holding my dog Lois in our arms. And, you know,
that
Ashley and I
so
walked
cute.
In. It was like a very adorable moment that I'll never forget for the rest of my life. And it was really cool seeing everything kind of come together with the florals and the tablecloth and the silverware and the plating and the lighting. You know, we've been playing it for a few months now, and that was the first time we actually saw it all put together. So it was a pretty awesome moment. And then we came down to D.C. We did a couple book readings for our children's book, and we're visiting Ashley's parents down here. And then we head back to L.A. this weekend because I got to get back in time for the Avengers premiere because I'm going.
I feel like you guys split so much of your time between here and the East Coast.
We do. I mean, my parents live in, obviously I'm born and raised in Rhode Island, and Ashley's parents are in Virginia. So, plus we're getting married in Rhode Island. So we've had to come back a few times for that, which is a good excuse for me to go home for a little while. And I love the East Coast. I was born and raised here. So we definitely both want to move back at some point. The goal, would be, you know, to become bi-coastal, but obviously we have a long ways to go before then.
What do you mean long ways? Well, that's where you're going to open the bar out there, right?
I mean, I'd like to, man. That's kind of like the long-term plan is to open up a bar back east. I've always worked in the hospitality industry, and it's always been a little bit of a dream of mine to open up a bar. And I have a very specific concept that I'd like to do. And I would never want to do it on the West Coast because I just don't know the clientele well enough. I don't know what would work, what wouldn't work. The retail property over there is far more expensive. So I'd like to bring it back home east where I think I'm a little bit more tapped in. And it would probably be a little bit more successful, knock on wood. But yet again, that's still years down the road. You know, Ashley and I have a lot more things that we need to do and need to accomplish before we can even start thinking about that.
I talked to your fiance yesterday, or I guess the other day. Was that yesterday? No, that was the other day. On the phone while she was recording the Almost Famous podcast because you've announced that all three of us, me, Tanner, and Nick are going to be groomsmen in your wedding. That's public information, right?
Yes, it is. I didn't even know that.
Aww.
Oh, that was very interesting.
You didn't even know that.
Well, I knew I asked them, but I didn't know it was public knowledge until
I
got tagged. Shout out to this Instagram that is like dedicated to Dean. It's not your Instagram. It's like a fan account.
Team Dean.
Very nice. What is it? Team Dean?
Team Dean. Much respect. Gotta love them.
Shout out to Team Dean. But they posted like saying like, oh, Dean and Nick are in Jared's bachelor party. And this was like last Friday. And
I'm so sad. I'm always the last one to know stuff about the wedding.
I didn't even know that was public information. And Ashley was talking to somebody and she just kind of like said it. But yeah.
Dean, wait, so does this mean I'm not invited to the wedding?
Can we all just settle down for a minute?
Wait, no, does it?
I don't. We're going through the guest list right now. We're just figuring everything out.
Jared, I'm heartbroken. Let me tell you something. I held off on my vacation plans in August, and I kept asking. I didn't want to ask you directly. I was like, but I don't know when the wedding is because there's a trip that's planned in August, and I'm like, well, I'm gonna hold off on this trip because I want to go to the wedding. But now I'm gonna book my trip to. I'm gonna book my vacation.
Well, definitely don't schedule your vacation around me. I would never want that for a wedding regardless, you know?
It's your wedding. It's not a birthday party. It's your wedding. It's like, hopefully it's your first and last. So something first I would have wanted to come to.
Well, obviously, I mean, listen, for all the wonderful things within Bachelor, it's just, well, anyway, we're all going to talk about this at some point and figure everything out. The wedding is still a ways away. But yes, point of the story is, Dean, I asked you because, Dean, you and I have grown closer ever since the podcast started and become a lot closer friends. And specifically, probably over the past like 5 or 6 months, I feel like I've grown a lot closer with you. And what really cemented when I wanted you to be a groomsman was our trip to Foxwoods because You always just make me happy, man. You're a very happy guy, and you're always so optimistic. And like, I know I want you to be a part of the party because I know you'll just be energetic and smiling, and you'll make me smile as well and not stressed out. And it was when we were at Foxwoods doing our event a few weeks ago, and we were in the club, and you know, we're not, you know, big club people, and Dean and I were just trying to have fun, and we were like fist pumping and chanting, "Help, I suck at dating! Help, I suck at dating!"
Great night.
It was awesome. And so it was like, this is a no-brainer. I want Dean to be a part of my groomsmen party.
Yeah, man, I was flattered when you asked. Actually, I was a little bummed to hear that both Nick and Tanner are going to be there as well. Obviously, I get it. Like, you and Tanner are best friends from, obviously, way, way back.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to be the only guy from The Bachelor that's going to be up there.
Nah, of course, Nick's in there too. Obviously, Nick and I have grown very close, and I lived with him for a little while. And Nick is, you know, another guy that I've been on a couple seasons of Bachelor with, and then we've just formed a really strong friendship off the show as well. But we'll see about Tanner, obviously. Tanner is, you know, he's like an honorary member of The Bachelor Party, but he's also, you know, marrying Ashley and I. He's our officiant. But, you know, Jade is pregnant and she's due right around our wedding. So I hope they're able to come. I hope both Tanner and Jade are able to come because they're two of my closest friends, and obviously Ashley's as well. So it would be a bummer if they can't, but we'll see. But yeah, from Bachelor, it's you three that are part of the party, and then some other guys. Actually, you know what was funny, Dean? Tori texted me a couple days ago. Did she ever play a game with you? Apparently she wanted to play a game of to see if you could name any of the groomsmen not named Nick or Tanner.
Your father's name is Phil?
Ah, so close.
Bill.
Fred.
Fred. Ugh.
Bill?
Four letters.
Four letters, and you had the P, sounds like an F. It was pretty close.
He's your best man, right?
Yeah. My dad is my best man, so I asked him way back at Christmas, but that was a really nice moment. So we're excited. We're doing wedding planning, and it's kind of all coming together, which is really nuts, and it's even crazier to think that it's all within the next, you know, 4 months-ish. It's flying by. It's exciting.
Well, yeah, and then a bunch of your other groomsmen are going to be friends from...
Home. Rhode Island. Yeah, there's one of my buddies. He lives up in Vancouver, but I kind of grew up with him in Rhode Island, and then he moved over to Vancouver. He lives there now with his fiance. And then obviously you guys live in LA, but then pretty much everybody else lives in Rhode Island. That's the cool part. That's I'm lucky to be being married over in Rhode Island because a lot of my friends and family are there. And then Ashley's family is mostly either in Jersey or in Northern Virginia, so everybody's kind of up there except for, you know, Bachelor crew, obviously producers and cast. So
yeah, all right, cool.
It'll be fun. Well, I'm excited.
I'm excited too. Let's jump into a phone call with Ken Page, who is the author and host of a podcast, Deeper Dating. But before we do that, we are going to tell you guys a little bit about Hers.
So ladies, I'm sure you could relate to this. You go into a department store or into a pharmacy, and there's high-priced store brands, gimmicky marketing tricks to disappointing products that often do not perform, and it's impossible to know where to put your trust. And the truth is, we aren't trying to look 18 again, but we are trying to look like we slept at least 7 hours or 8 hours and drank 8 glasses of water every day, which would be nice. I think I drink like about like 5 glasses of water. I need to step up my water game. ForHers.com is the new women's wellness brand, cutting the cost and delivering you one of dermatologists' go-to solutions for aging skin. Fought for by a woman, for women, ForHers is helping women deal with aging skin and providing access to licensed doctors all online, which is super amazing. A doctor will evaluate you and can prescribe you a treatment that can be delivered directly to your door. And everyone's skin is different. So even my skin changes with the seasons. It's super oily in the summertime and really dry in the winter. So the doctor can help tailor your treatment directly to you and for you for your skin type. Prescription high strength retinoid face cream is here to help smooth appearances of fine lines, uneven skin texture, and a dull complexion without keeping our faces stuck in one expression. And I keep getting asked this a lot. I've never tried Botox or fillers. So this is something, ForHers.com is something that I really want to try out, and especially because it's so hard out here to get an appointment with a dermatologist. So our listeners can get their first month of anti-aging formula from Hers for $10 off right now while supplies last, and subject, of course, to your doctor's approval. See website for full details. Go to forhers.com/Dean. That's ForHers.com/Dean. forhers.com/DEAN. Restrictions apply. See website for full details.
All right, you guys, we all know how hard hiring can be. You have multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done, ZipRecruiter.com/date.
Date!
ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find out people with the right experience and invites them to apply to the job that you need filled. How incredible. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day.
Wow.
That's
how many employers?
4 out of 5. That's 80% within the first day.
Good math, Dean.
Thank you. School's almost out. It's hard finding an internship, let alone a job. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/date. That's ZipRecruiter.com/DATE. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire.
All right, we have Ken Page on the line. Ken is the host of the Deeper Dating Podcast. He's also the author of the best-selling book, Deeper Dating, How to Drop the Games of Seduction and Discover the Power of Intimacy. Ken, are you there?
I am very here.
Hey, Ken, how are you?
I'm good. Glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you for being here. You are on the line with the Help I Suck at Dating crew, Dean and Vanessa.
Hey, Ken.
Hey.
Ken, why don't you tell us who you are? Give a little background to the listeners.
Sure. So I am, I guess, first and foremost, someone who was chronically single for decades. And I'm a psychotherapist. And kind of at the same time as I was struggling with my own search for love, I had so many clients that were as well. So I tried to kind of really learn why I sucked at dating. And I really, really sucked at dating. I sucked at it so badly that I actually started a support group for chronically single psychotherapists.
And
that
I love
was
it.
Really helpful. Yeah, because we need it. We psychotherapists, we need that help. But so I had to do a lot of work and a lot of learning, and I kind of chronicled what I learned as I learned it, and that led to my book, Deeper Dating. I was still single. That led in the process to me adopting a child as a single dad.
Oh, good for you.
Yes, and our son is now about to graduate high school, and
wow.
That has been an amazing, you know, I said yes to love, and that was what came first. It wasn't a partner. And then, through all of that, I met my husband. Meanwhile, I was teaching, you know, I was this, like, therapist teaching about finding love, even though I wasn't in a relationship, but I knew what I was learning worked. And I taught all the way through and wrote that book and, you know, teach classes, teach intensives, lecture all over the place, write for Psychology Today, and most recently started the Deeper Dating Podcast, where I get to kind of talk about what I'm learning. And like each one of you, I'm endlessly fascinated in what it means to date well and to find love, because it's kind of like it's a miracle, but it's a miracle that you can earn. So that's my story.
Well, Ken, I think you're so incredibly insightful, and there's so many things that you write and you talk about that resonates with me, and I'm sure resonates with a lot of our listeners. And one thing that you talk about is attractions of deprivation and attractions of inspiration. And before I butcher what this means, can you give us an example of what each of those mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So here's what I say. I say that, like, in the simplest terms, every one of us has two kind of circuitries of attraction, and we all have them both. And a circuitry of attraction of deprivation is when you're attracted to someone because you're trying to get them to love you, or you're trying to get them to treat you right, and they almost love you, or they almost treat you right, or they almost can commit, but they can't. They ultimately can't. And that's a real attraction, because you feel like if I can finally get this person, then that means I'm okay, and that means I can find love. And, you know, so many of us have lost years in that process, and it's a real circuitry, and it feels feels like love because it's like almost love. And then the other circuitry, which is a different one that most of us don't even know. Well, there's some people that really know how to find love, and they do it easily, and they do it well. But for the rest of us, we need to learn about this other circuitry. And it's what I call circuitry of attractions of inspiration. And that is when you fall in love with somebody because of their goodness and their decency and the fact that their love for you is solid. And it might not always look as sexy at first. Mm-hmm. And it might even scare you or freak you out a little bit that this person is so available. Like, what is wrong with them? But those qualities where they inspire you by how they treat you, by how mm-hmm. they act in the world, by the kind of person they are, mm-hmm. that's happiness. That's like where you, that's the only place you want to really look for love. And you can cultivate that circuitry. And when you do, your dating life changes top to bottom. Actually, the Oprah people excerpted that section of my book, which attractions lead to love and which mm-hmm. lead to pain.
So what kind of advice would you give to people who are listening who get stuck and can't break free from being stuck with the almost person, the person that is giving them love but not the kind of love that they need or all the love that they deserve?
Yeah, well, I want to say, first of all, it is the hardest thing in the world. It's just the hardest thing in the world. And you are going to be, if you're stuck in that, you have to assume that you're a little bit, during the being stuck in it, you're going to be a little bit nuts. You are not going to have clear vision. You are going to need to rely on friends that remind you that it's not about what's wrong with you that you have to fix, and that when you go mm-hmm. on endlessly and endlessly about what this person did wrong, that your friend says, yeah, this really happened. And, you know, we need the help of our friends. We need the help of therapists. We need the help of our intuition because, you know, in those relationships, your gut is always saying, like, oh, mm-hmm. this isn't right. No, this isn't really working. I don't feel good. I don't feel safe. I don't trust this person.
So, right.
So it's hard. It's really hard. Like, the image that I have of this is like a little kid who's holding a piece of broken glass in her hand. And it's really pretty, and it's really colorful, but it's cutting the inside of her hand. But she's not going to let it go for anything. And that's kind of my image of what it's like, having been in a lot of those relationships myself in the past.
Ken, what do you think about the 3-date rule? We've talked about that on the podcast before, where most of the times when you're going on dates, you should go on 3 dates with the same person before you really make a judgment on that. What are your thoughts on?
You know, I think that's a good rule. However, I think if the person is nasty, don't go on 3 dates.
Well, of course.
We'll continue. Yeah. Okay, so assuming none of that stuff, none of that really creepy stuff, I think the 3-date rule is a really nice one. Like I once was dating somebody, and I had a mentor who really was helpful to me, and this guy that I was dating, because for me it was a guy, he was nice, but I wasn't really that interested, and I didn't know if I should keep dating him, and my mentor said to me, keep dating him. Because in a little bit of time, he's either going to get more beautiful to you, or mm-hmm. he's not. And either way, you'll know. So I think it's a great rule.
My friend actually has a rule, and if she answers yes, no at the end of this, at the end of a date, then she'll go on a second date with them. And so the questions are: did I have fun? If that's a yes, then that's great. Did he make me feel good? If that's a yes, that's great. Did he make me feel bad? And if that's a no, that's also great. So if she answers yes, no to those 3 questions, she gives the guy a second chance. Even if she's like, I'm not sure if I'm like super attracted to him, but I want to get to know him and I want to see what, if we can have a stronger connection. So that's her little date rule.
That's so crazy.
I love that. That's great.
I like that too, but yeah. It's crazy to think about that sometimes you're putting the yes, no rule for your soulmate. You know, isn't that weird to think about? Say your friend goes on a date with somebody and they do that and then they answer yes, and no. So she's like, all right, I'll go on another date with this person. They go on another date and then they end up falling in love and getting married. Isn't that crazy to think back upon like everything that could have fallen through? I don't know. That just kind of went through my head. That like everything that was predicated on her marrying her soulmate was simply
right.
A yes, no.
I don't know.
I love that. Yeah. It's so crazy. It's like, and then if you weren't like on that street corner right at that time, and you wouldn't have met that person. This is why it's like, I'll tell you what I see in my work. What I see is that when people make certain specific changes, the people they meet change. Like their field somehow changes. And then, which is amazing right there. But then, kind of like, I don't know if any of you have experienced that. You kind of like sometimes get messages from the inside.
And
the message might be like, yeah, you find that too?
Mm-hmm.
So I was
totally, gut instinct, yeah.
Yep. Have any of you had gut instincts that like really kind of changed your future?
So like, strong, yes. I love that this is like a lead in to a question that I had for you. I feel like we're at an age where we're the most intelligent we've ever been, but also the most troubled. And I think it's a lot of noise that's around us, a lot of social media, comparing ourselves to other people, comparing our relationship to other relationships that are out there. And you talk about authenticity and leading with your authenticity. And then you also mentioned intuition today. And I feel like sometimes it's so hard to grasp the definition of those two, like very simple ideas, being authentic and following your intuition. But there's so much outside noise that masks what we should be doing and what we're already born with. How can we tap into our intuition a little bit more, or at least trust our gut? Because I've been in relationships where I knew from the first day I met someone, I was like, nah, this is not going to work. But I guess my insecurities, I was feeding my insecurities and I was feeding my ego. Like, okay, well, I'm going to, like you said, I want him to like me so I feel better about myself. But my intuition kept pushing me away further and further away from that person and to the point where we just became two beings and we weren't one anymore. So how can we tap into our intuition a little bit more?
Oh my God, that was like so great what you said, and really, really, really so true. I mean, that's just, it's such a true thing that it's like you just defined a big piece of like the wiser dating path. And this is what I always say. The real lessons of dating are the lessons of intimacy, and the lessons of intimacy are the greatest lessons of your life. So this was one of them, you know? How do you like kind of like calm down and tune into what you really feel instead of getting so like bewildered by all the noise or seduced by all these other things you're being told. And I have a lot to say about that, but like there's two things I want to say in particular, and one is that you need to listen for those moments of intuition. That's like a really big deal, and you want to try to not think you can outsmart your intuition, because every time we think we're going to outsmart our intuition, like I know better, it usually bites us in the butt. So, yeah. So I think those moments of intuition are like such a big deal, and you know, in my work with people, I have such amazing stories about like people getting woken up in the middle of the night with an insight about what they have to do or they don't have to do, or finally getting hit with something, or just getting that gut feeling of like, oh, this person could be like home for me. Like I could see that.
Right.
You know, that really strong feeling. So one thing we have to do is really learn to listen to those kind of whispers of intuition. And the other thing is, I would love to share the greatest, and it's really easy, it's really quick, but it is the number one greatest practice that I know for listening to your intuition and following it and having that change your life. So could I teach it to you all?
Oh, yeah, please do.
Yeah, we're all ears.
Oh, good. Okay, so then I'm going to ask everyone who's listening, and I'm going to ask each of you to give this a shot, okay?
Okay.
So just close your eyes for a second. It's going to be really quick, but it's pretty wonderful.
Dean, close your eyes.
Close your eyes, unless you're driving. and just kind of think of the you that you are when you're really freely loving. It could be like you freely loving your pet or a family member or a kid or, you know, also a romantic love. Like who you become when you're really that kind of like free and goofy and like just open version of you. And then you have to get it perfectly, just a general idea. And then, like, remember a time that you felt really comfortable in your own skin, like really great in your own skin, just like so good with yourself. And just kind of remember that, hold that memory. And one more question. Think about a time that, like, you really felt loved by somebody. And I don't mean somebody that, like, later down the road betrayed you or let you down. Someone who, like, to this day you say that was, like, a good person. But remember what it feels like, what it has felt like to be really just loved. And hold all those feelings together. And now, imagine a you that lives that way. It's like the you you're meant to be. It's like the you on the other side of all your inner glass ceilings, like a wise, wise version of, like, the you that you are born to be. And just picture that you. And now, become that you. Just, it's an imagination exercise. You don't have to earn it. Just, like, imagine you are in that you, which isn't that hard in a way because it's you. So just imagine now you're in the skin of that you, like that you that you know you are and you're born to be. And imagine looking at the you of today, who's struggling and asking these questions about love. What do you most want from this fantastic place? What do you most want to impart to the you of today? Like, what's the message that comes from you from this place? Comes from the inside of you that you want to say to the you of today. Just take a minute to think about what that is. Okay, did you guys get something?
Yeah, I think we got something out of it. I did. I was very reflective.
Good. You got a message?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I hope our listeners, whoever's listening, can do the same exact practice, except while you're driving, like you Ken said. So if you guys are listening at home, definitely close your eyes and listen to Ken and try to do those practices just for a minute or so.
Just Ken, your voice is so soothing.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm a meditation teacher. So my son wouldn't say so when I'm yelling at him to do his homework, but, you know, apart from that. But so, yeah. So if you do that process, whatever you got, I just want to tell you, it's probably smarter than anything any therapist could tell you.
Well,
and
here
if
we go.
You make that, yeah. If, you know, I'm a shrink, and I do this process with people, with my clients all the time. And the stuff they come up with, again and again, I think, wow, that is better than what I would have said. And I'm a pretty good therapist. So, yeah, yeah. Great exercise. If you do it every day for a minute or two, you're going to become that person much more quickly, and you're going to make choices in love. Like, when you're at a kind of choice point in your dating life and you do that exercise, you're almost always going to get guidance. And it's never going to be critical, but it's going to be very real. And if you follow it, you're probably going to speed your path to finding your relationship by 50% right there.
Well, that's incredible. Well, Ken, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. You've definitely dropped some knowledge on all of us. And everybody listening to this, you guys can get Ken's book, Deeper Dating, How to Drop the Games of Seduction and Discover the Power of Intimacy and Popular Psychology today. That is available everywhere books are sold. You can also listen to Deeper Dating Podcast, everywhere podcasts, you know, iTunes, all that good stuff. Ken, do you have any social media you want to plug?
Oh, sure. So Twitter is Ken Page LCSW, and same for Facebook.
All right, perfect. Ken, everybody go follow him, and thank you once again for coming on, Ken Page. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it's great.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you all. Thanks.
Thank you. You know what's really cool about Ken? He was in Oprah Magazine. How badass is that?
It's very badass.
Yeah, apparently. Thanks, Dean. How are you?
Yeah, how's that contribution there? Sorry for being silent during that whole conversation. I feel like you guys were carrying it well enough, so I didn't have to
step in. The one guy who needs the most help.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark. I really appreciate that.
I think that's such an overrated statement. Dean, you do not need help.
I don't really... It's what, Vanessa?
Okay, I wrote Dean. So it was Dean's birthday yesterday. And thank God for a group chat, because I know I wouldn't have been notified, because I'm not really ever on Instagram unless I have to post something for work. So, Dean, that message, I don't feel like you actually internalize it the way I wanted you to.
What? Do you want to read it for the listeners?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, thank
you. So, first of all, we all know how many people love Dean and how many people want to be dating him. And we all know how much he loves to self-deprecate and make fun of himself.
Yeah.
So I said, my love, exclamation point, exclamation point. I'm so sorry I didn't know it was your birthday today. I hope you had the most magical day because you are magical. Thank you for being in my life and for being my friend. I hope this year brings you insight on all the impact you have made in people's lives and shows you how truly special you are. There was a typo there, but that's why. This is your year. I can't wait to see you continue to thrive. There are so many typos in this message. I couldn't even understand. But basically, I want Dean to take this year kind of like a sabbatical on himself. And take this year to really, like, you travel so much and you do so many things that can be so insightful on all the positive qualities that you have, and really own them and really believe that you are that person that I see that you are. And that's what I hope this year brings you.
Thanks, B. But you said that you don't think that I gave you the response that you were hoping for yesterday?
No. Well, what did you respond with?
It was like three words.
I said,
thanks, V.
I said, aw, thanks, V. Heart emoji, heart emoji.
That's very cute. I don't know. I have a difficult... Anytime somebody like gives me a whole paragraph about how great I am, I have a very difficult time like responding to anything like that.
I'm the same way. I was at dinner, too, at the time, and I was like, I couldn't really come back with like a long, heartfelt response, but I do appreciate it, and I did internalize it. And Vanessa, thank you for the birthday wish. Obviously, it doesn't matter what time I got it. It's the thought that counts. And you know I love you.
I'm just bad at that stuff. Listen, guys, I was really bad at receiving compliments. Even when I go out for dinner and I know someone wants to be paying for me and they bring out their wallet, I used to fight them, literally jump on them, put their wallet back in their purse. And now I'm like, no, learn how to accept good things that come your way. So if ever someone wants to pay for dinner, I say, thank you. I'm not going to fight it. If someone says something nice about me, I'm like, thank you. And I'm going to actually internalize it and believe it.
Yeah,
and that's what I learned how to do.
I agree. I used to anytime I used to get a compliment, I'd always fight it and be like, oh no. Like if somebody came up and said, hey, you have a great jaw. I'd be like, nah, it's fine. It's really not that good. And then it would create this awkwardness in the air. And now I've realized just to say thank you. Like, hey, you know, you have patchy facial hair. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's very nice of you to say.
It's just, I think that by thanking them so abruptly like that, you're like agreeing with them almost, you know?
And who gives a shit? Yeah, I have a list of things that I love about myself. And if
name
you mention
one of them.
Let's see. You should go around the room and each say something you love about yourself.
Okay. I love my height because I feel like it's a good 5'3½ is a good height to like date someone that's like a little bit taller. So everyone's always naturally going to be kind of taller than you. I love my teeth. I love my smile. I love my positive energy. I love the length of my hair. I love, my styes that I had on my freaking eyes for 2 weeks.
Yeah, what's up with all these styes you keep getting?
I don't know what the fuck is happening.
Why
but
do you
I was
love
after.
Your styes?
I thought you said styes.
For a while.
They were part of... Because I've learned how to love... Because we live in a world where we want the Kardashian body, the small waist, the big hips, everything has to be perfect. And life is not perfect. Like, I have cellulite on my ass, and I love the cellulite on my ass. Because that means I have a big ass.
For the record, I know that girls idolize the Kardashian body, but I don't think I know a single guy that's like, wow, Kim K has really got it going on. I don't know a single guy personally that looks at Kim K's body and is like, that's the body that I want my girlfriend to have. No guy is like, damn, that's good looking. But girls idolize her, obviously, because Kim K is one of the most, if not the most famous person in the world, mostly because girls idolize her for the way that she looks. When, like I just said, guys, not a single guy I know thinks she's attractive.
Dean, who do you think the most attractive Kardashian is? Or Jenner, you know what I mean. The fam.
Oh, well, Kendall's obviously super hot.
All right, besides Kendall.
What's her name? Not Khloe, Courtney, I think. Kourtney? Courtney's the best.
So more Vanessa? The natural looking.
Yeah.
Vanessa, what do you think?
Yeah, I would say the same too.
Isn't it funny? I feel like anytime...
Kylie's a model, right?
Well, Kylie is.
Kylie's hot.
The model.
Yeah,
the model,
Kylie's a very good looking woman. Yeah, she's the model. I mean, they're all models, aren't they? Kind of.
I guess the point that
she's actually a runway model.
The point that I'm trying to make is girls idolize Kim K for the way that she looks, but guys at the same time don't really look up to her as like beautiful. I mean, she's beautiful, sure, but like not like
a
sex symbol.
Not just Kim K, anyone really. And I was sick on my couch last week and I posted about it and I went on Instagram and I was flipping through everyone's like pages. And I'm like, oh my God, this person is traveling to that place. This person has that job. This person looks like this. This person is working out 5 times a week and eating super healthy. And I'm like, I'm not doing any of those things. And then I started comparing myself. And I'm like, why am I comparing myself when I have so many amazing things to be grateful for? And the most important one of them all, my health.
Minus his thighs.
Minus his thighs. Yeah, guys, it was so we went to Napa, and I'm so sorry, Jared, we were supposed to record a podcast, but our podcast did get pushed to later, and I ended up getting really, and I remember saying, like, my body's not gonna be able to handle it. And of course, with my travel, my luck with traveling, my flight the next day was canceled.
Yeah, that sucked. I remember that you texted, because you had a straight shot, didn't you, from San Fran to Montreal, and then it got canceled, and then you had a layover after you were sick. Yeah, bad day. Bad couple days for you. Sorry about that.
It was a bad couple of days, but I don't know.
Vanessa, I don't know who you pissed off or what you did wrong in your life, but you literally have the worst travel luck.
I really do. And I usually always travel for work. It's not like as if I'm traveling to go have fun. So it's like, it's not an obligation, but I'm doing it because it's for work and I'm still getting shot in the foot.
Yeah, Vanessa, but you're a very optimistic person. I feel like sometimes what you put out in the air, you get back. So maybe instead of you saying you're a crappy traveler, that, you know, you can say, hey, I've had a bad run of luck, but now things are going to turn and my traveling stories are going to get better, and maybe they'll get better.
You just gotta maybe put I just need a vacation to kind of like all balance it out.
Law of attraction.
Well, okay, Dean, back to you.
Sure, let's put it up back on me.
What do you want? What do you want this year to bring for you?
Paradise.
Shut up, Jared.
Sorry. Who said that? Jared.
Of course I was going to say that. Dean, do you think...
Jared, I'm answering Vanessa's question. Come on, man.
But I want to... One thing at a time. All right, answer the question, because my question is very similar to Vanessa's. I just kind of wanted to piggyback off of it.
Piggyback off of it? I think that if the year ahead holds very similar to what the year behind held, I would be pretty happy in terms of traveling and meeting new people. And that's basically what it's already off to a start. So actually, after dinner last night, I went rock climbing because I'm going on this trip next week. And I want to get like at least semi-fit before going. And I was sitting in the parking lot. And I know how last week, I think we discussed how I was flying to Marrakesh for May 2nd, like next week, beginning of May, whatever it was. I decided instead of going to Marrakesh, I'm going to go to China. And so I was sitting in the parking lot of the rock climbing gym that I was about to go climbing in. And I booked a plane ticket to China instead of Marrakesh. So,
wow.
I hope that's kind of a continued process. And then I think I mentioned this last week as well too, is once I go to Colorado this week, I hope I'm driving a van back to Los Angeles. I've got a couple lined up that I'm going to look at. And so hopefully that will be a big central point of the next year of my life, is being able to be mobile and drive my van around to wherever I want, while also being able to catch flights to other countries and see things that I've always wanted to see as well. So that's what the year ahead holds. I know that obviously doesn't really revolve much around my romantic life. And I think that for this phase of my life, romance is really going to have to take a back seat to self-exploration and discovery. And I'm perfectly fine with that. And actually, I was thinking about it even a little bit more yesterday. Like, everyone kind of aspires to be in a relationship, right? Like, if you're single, 99.9% of the time, you're always like, okay, like, how could I get into a relationship? How could I find a girlfriend or a boyfriend? But I'm just so much better as a single person. Like, I'm so much better through and through single than I am in a relationship.
I had that mentality too. I remember when I would jump into relationships, I would cry to my sister and be like, I hate who I become when I'm in a relationship. I become like more insecure, and I become clingy to the person, and my dreams and the aspirations that I have kind of take a back seat. And I love who I am when I'm single. But I think with this relationship now, at least I'm learning how to mesh my single mentality of the things that I want to achieve in life into my relationship. Because I hated who I became in a relationship. I always prioritized the other person. And I remember dating someone who kind of told me, like, well, you're not allowed doing this anymore. And I kind of had to quit this job that I had.
Right.
I didn't have to. Sorry. I allowed myself to let him take control of my work life.
Right. And then you have to start worrying about someone else reacting to the things that you're doing other than just you, because someone else is connected. So it's like, if I want to live in a van for a year, I have to worry about someone else worrying about me living in a van for a year, you know? But if I'm single, I don't have to worry about buying a plane ticket to China for 2 weeks if I just want to go and do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's kind of been like the positive and negatives of being in a relationship and being single for however long. Like, yes, when you're in a relationship, you can't do everything you want. You have to compromise. But then again, when you're single, you get so lonely because you just long for that. Not so much just a relationship, but kind of being a part of a team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say you said there are positives and negatives. I don't really look at it with having any negatives.
Being single?
Yeah, not a single one.
You don't like the feeling of
intimacy.
Having someone always be by your side? What I love most about being in a relationship with Ashley is that it's no longer just about me. It's like I kind of have somebody that I'm going through life with, because life can be really shitty sometimes, and it's really nice to have that comfort of like, hey, you're going to be right there with me whenever bad times occur. I don't know.
Dean, you look like it seems like you have a lot of supportive friends.
I have a lot of supportive friends. Obviously, for all of us too, we have our internet quote unquote friends, you know, like there's never really.
Can we also distinguish though being in a relationship with somebody and being friends with someone though? Like, I would never have said the same thing about going through life with Ashley when we were just friends.
Yeah. No, I can understand where you're coming from, too. I think it's, I don't really want a conventional life. And so it's for me to, I think it's harder to find someone that's willing to, accept those parts of me. Like the wanting to live in a van or the, you know, not showering every day.
There's someone for everyone. So I know so many people who live, there's a couple who now they just got pregnant and they live in a van. And they're like, oh, we're going to have to get a bigger van because now we're having a baby. So
wow, that's great. I love that. Does that person have a sister or a niece or?
Well, she does live in LA, so I can always reach out to her. Actually, you know who knows her is our dear friend, Nick Vial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our
and
dear
speaking
friend.
Of Nick, hold on. I just got a, I didn't check, I've been checking my phone while we were like talking right now, but I just got a link to, should I not talk about this?
Well, you might as well drop it now. I'm assuming that you're alluding to the article about Nick making out with a guy.
Right. I didn't read about it. I just saw the title, but you know how titles are so misleading? So
they are very misleading.
That he was playing on a TV show or something?
That's exactly what it was. He was playing a part that required where he had a kissing scene with a guy, and he talks about it with the Call Your Daddy Girls, which is the podcast on Barstool Sports. And so when I saw that too, I felt bad because it is a very misleading.
Well, wait a second. Yeah. Let's talk about this. Jared, have you ever kissed a guy before?
I have not.
Have you ever kissed a girl?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've kissed guys before.
Like tongue?
Yeah. I mean, no, but I've kissed frequently. Text throughout the night. Nick was actually one of them.
We kissed the same person.
I kissed Nick at iHeartRadio Music Awards in Las Vegas like 19 times one night.
We were friends?
Yeah.
You cheated on me!
I kissed Alex Bordikov like 30 times Friday night at Coachella this past weekend.
That I believe.
Well, this was a little bit different because he was playing for a role. I think he might have been playing a gay man. I'm not sure. But it was like a makeout session. It wasn't a peck or anything like that. So, I mean, the question is, have you ever made out with a guy, Dean?
No, I guess there's never any tongue. Not that I can remember, at least.
Well, you know, a few beers in. Who knows?
So, Jared, you've never kissed a guy before, huh?
I have not.
Come on.
I'm trying to think if I'm sure there's been a friend peck. Like, I'm sure you've probably pecked me on the lips before, and I'm just not remembering.
Would you kiss Tom Brady?
There you go.
No. Ooh. Oh, God. Mark, what? Don't ask me that on the air. Well, it's...
You know you would.
I wouldn't. I'd grab a beer with Tom Brady.
No, because I've been asked this too about like heroes of mine, and there's no chance. Yeah, I would not do that.
No, I want to just be friends. Like, I want to talk about his 6 Super Bowl championships. You know, that's what I want.
I mean, Tom Brady kisses his kids on the lips.
Well, honestly, when Mark asked me, that was the first thing that went through my mind was that, like, I think it's, you know, to each their own, because I've seen Tom Brady kiss, you know, his dad and his son on his lips. So,
coach?
The coach. The coach kissed somebody else on the lips. I saw that picture too where Belichick was kissing somebody. Mm. I don't remember what it was.
I think he kissed Kraft.
But there's
Kraft,
like a, you know?
Too.
Huh?
Didn't he kiss Kraft?
Who it was.
Yeah.
It was Kraft.
Maybe it was that.
He's just passionate. That's fine. How did we get on this topic?
Yeah. I mean, you show love in different ways, right? Yeah. So if Brady was like, hey, we got together, he's like, hey, bro, I love you. And was like, hey, I'm going to peck you on the lips. I'm not going to say no.
Well, a peck is different than a tonsil hockey.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd make out with Channing Tatum, no questions asked.
You'd make out with him?
Yeah.
Full on tongue?
Yeah.
Good.
All of the Avengers, is that true of all the Avengers as well?
I don't find Channing Tatum that cute.
Wow.
Have you seen
Magic
Mike?
It's not just his looks, it's also his personality that really just does it for
me. Watch Step Up again and tell me a different
one. I mean, I do love his personality, but I'm like, okay.
Or
like,
Jump Street. He's hilarious.
Jump Street, yeah.
He's amazing.
Great. I'm sorry to interrupt, but we do need to take a break.
Okay.
We need to get some emails. I wanted to thank Dean for that beautiful, heartfelt text response I got from you last night. That was very sweet and very kind, and I really appreciate it.
You're lucky I'm not in studio.
Okay, so I got a lot of birthday texts yesterday.
It's very nice.
Depending on where I was and what I was doing at the time,
I was touched.
There was deeper responses sometimes.
Mark, you know? can you read your text message, or can you forward it to me?
I could only do it with Dean's permission.
You can read it. That's fine.
All right. I sent Dean.
Oh, boy.
This is what I sent Dean, because it was his birthday yesterday, and I'm a big fan of Dean. And I just said, happy birthday, Deaners. Proud to call you my friend.
I said that, too.
Short and sweet.
He wrote back, thanks, Mark Wong. That's a long story, but I'm super lucky to get to work with someone of your caliber, and it is an honor to be your friend as well. And then the double high five hands. Isn't that nice? Not together, apart. Hands apart.
I sent Dean a text, too. Shall we? I said, all caps, happy birthday, 5 exclamation points, horn, cake, present, balloon, emoji. He sent back.
More emojis than I got.
He sent back, thanks, Eastie. Emoji of a little man holding his palms to the camera.
The hugging emoji.
Is that what that is?
It really depends on where I was during the day. So when Easton texted me, it was 3:55 p.m. I was buying a new set of golf clubs. And so I was preoccupied at the time.
I wasn't expecting a response at all. I was thrilled I got something.
Mark texted me, I think I was between buying clubs and going to dinner, so I could put a little bit more effort into it. Vanessa texted me, I was at lunch with my manager, something like that. I'm just saying. Mark, what do we want to talk about
now? Take a break. We'll come back and do some emails.
Okay.
All right, guys. I got something to talk about. I want to talk about Sleep Number. You've heard me talk about this mattress before. Now, Ashley and I, we kind of disagree on the firmness on our beds and how we like it, but we can compromise with Sleep Number. Now, for proven quality sleep, there's the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, because better sleep will certainly change your life. Now, so many couples, including Ashley, I, say that 5 times fast. We disagree on mattress firmness all the time, but Sleep Number 360 Smart Beds let you choose your ideal firmness on each side, so it's just right for the both of you guys. Now, the Sleep Number 360 Smart Beds are so smart, they sense your every move and automatically adjust to you, keeping you sleeping comfortably throughout the night. When you add a FlexFit Smart Adjustable Base, you can also raise the head or foot of the bed for ultimate relaxation. Partner snoring? Well, there's even an adjustment for that. Ashley doesn't snore, so that's not a huge problem. I wonder if I snore. Dean, do you know if you snore?
Only if I'm drunk.
Interesting. All right, you guys can come in now and save up to $1,000 on select Sleep Number 360 smart beds when you add a smart adjustable base, only for a limited time. Sleep Number is ranked number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses by JD Power. For 2018 award information, you can visit jdpower.com. Now, you only find Sleep Number at one of their 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Now, you can visit sleepnumber.com/Dean to find the one nearest you. Yet again, that's sleepnumber.com/Dean to find one of the closest stores near you to get your Sleep Number 360 smart bed today.
I'm on my way there immediately after this podcast.
As you well should. Do you sleep with your dog at the bed, Dean?
If I had a dog, yeah.
I thought you had...
I do, but she doesn't live with me.
Oh, my God. What's your dog's name?
Nala.
Nala. Oh, I'm so sorry. Because okay. Nala's, she's a big girl. So if she sleeps on one side and likes the bed a little bit firmer, you know, you guys might disagree about that.
She is big and she is fat. That's the truth.
Oh, she's just got curves.
Yeah.
Third love. They have bras and half sizes for your boobies.
They do. And you know, when you go to stores, usually it's like bra size A, B, C, D, or double D, and then it goes into the double letters. But what most brands fail to do is have half cup sizes. And that's what Third Love does. So Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and premium feel. I'm wearing my Third Love bra right now, and it's so comfortable. Third Love offers more than 70 sizes. That's 70 sizes, including their signature half cup sizes. I'm actually a half cup size. I'm not going to tell you my cup size, but I'm actually a half cup size. All you got to do is answer a few simple questions in their Fit Finder quiz to find your perfect fit in just 60 seconds. It's really that simple and easy. Every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, put it on and test it out. And if you don't love it, you can return it. And Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. But I'm telling you, they're super comfortable. You're going to fall in love with yours. Third Love's team of expert fit stylists are dedicated to helping you find your perfect fit. Fit stylists are available every single day, and they're there to help you via text, chat, or phone. And returns and exchanges are free and easy to do. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they're offering our listeners 15% off your first order. All you have to do is go to thirdlove.com/Vanessa to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/VANESSA for 15% off today.
Vanessa, bras are pretty expensive, right? Typically? So I'm just saying, yeah. 15%, that could be a lot in savings.
I mean, and you know, you want to get different color bras. If you're wearing a dark top, you want to wear a dark colored bra, and vice versa. If you're wearing light, you want to get light. So there's multiple bras you want to get. So yeah, it does get expensive. So 15% off is a really great deal.
Dean, do you want to sing the song again to end the spot?
ThirdLove.com. They're good for boobies and half sizes, and they're so comfortable.
Oh, voice of an angel.
So... there's a little bit of an interesting situation because Jared's wedding obviously is coming up and Vanessa is joking around about maybe not being on the guest list and she had to step away, gather her thoughts, but we're going to get them both back on the phone and discuss the situation.
Hi, Vanessa.
How are you doing, Vanessa?
I'm just sad. No, I don't want, like I texted you, I just don't want you to think that I was mad. No, like, I totally get it. I just,
Vanessa, you have nothing to apologize for or try to explain. I totally understand. I wanted to talk to you off air about it, you know, because it's just obviously been on my mind for quite some time as well, and trying to handle the situation as best as possible. For everybody involved, but if I'm being honest, most importantly, both Ashley and I, because we just want to, you know, make everybody happy, but also make sure that, you know, that day is most importantly about us. So I think for a while it's just been weighing on me and trying to figure out the right words, how to say things. But I don't know. But we can. I would love to talk more about it in depth, just maybe not here. If that's cool.
Well, I mean, I understand, and I guess it's. I don't want to make an ass out of myself by making an assumption, but I'm assuming it's because of a particular person, and I get that. And like I said, I'm not mad. I'm not anything. I think I'm mostly just sad.
Well, I would never want to make you sad, Vanessa, obviously.
It's not, I mean, it's just sad because, like I said earlier, it's not like a birthday that happens once a year. You know, it's like I vouched for you guys and I know he has too. I don't want this to become about me. Like, of course I want you and Ashley to have the most amazing and spectacular wedding day with zero stress. And that, like, I want the absolute amazing wedding day for you guys. And if that means me, you know,
I don't want to make
watching from afar, then like, that's what it is. But I don't want this to be about me. I'm just saying, like, of course, like I would have loved to have witnessed, the love that you guys have for each other and be there, to see it official. But, I guess I don't need to be a part of the wedding day to see the love that you guys do have for each other.
Well, I also don't want to make this, you know, I appreciate that. And you're wonderful for saying that. And I think one, it's so stupid. I really just don't feel comfortable, if I'm being honest, talking or even addressing it on the podcast right now. Because it's just.
Okay, we'll talk later.
Pretty much, I wanted to talk to you about it, but we haven't even done the invitations yet. We haven't even sent anything out except for the save the dates, which does not go to everybody invited to the wedding. We went to the save the dates to, like, obviously people were like, save the date, make sure you can come, and then we're going to send out more invitations to figure out exactly who's coming. And so we haven't finalized the guest list. I haven't even talked to Nick about this. It's not like he is any type of voice in my ear. So it's honestly only been weighing on both Ashley and I, and we've been putting it off because it obviously is an uncomfortable conversation to have with everybody involved, and it has been weighing on us, and we've also been distracted by other parts of the wedding, so we've been able to push it off, and now obviously we're starting getting into the phase of like, okay, we're going to start doing the invitations, send those out within the next month and a half or so. So we really have to get an idea of who we're inviting and, you know, who can't come, just for not only just like people being there, but also for numbers sake, because the venue that we do have, it maxes out at 180. They said we might be able to squeeze a couple more in there, so we have to really kind of cut down the list, which Ashley and I have both been dreading, because we know that there's certain people who might be assuming they're coming, but just because the venue doesn't fit enough people, we can't invite everybody. And so it's certainly been a cloud looming over our heads, and I never would want to make you sad. And I'm not even saying who's coming or who's not coming right now, because I just truly don't know. But I also haven't put out in the universe you coming, Vanessa, just because we're just trying to put all our ducks in order and figure out what's best for everybody involved. And that's really it. But I certainly don't want this to become a Nick thing. It's not. I don't want it to become that. He has never said anything about it. Throughout this entire podcast, you know, even Dean said off air, it's been kind of crazy that this is the first time it's really ever become awkward, because we're obviously good friends with Nick, we're friends with you. It's like, oh, this is, yeah, now it's kind of coming to a head. And so it's a conversation we're all going to have. We haven't had yet. And unfortunately, it kind of like just popped up on the podcast and on air. And here we are talking about it.
Yeah, I thought it was. I was making a joke until I realized we didn't answer. And I was like, oh, I guess it's not a joke. But again, I don't want to make this, this is not about me. And your wedding day should never be about other people. Of course, it's about, you want to share the love and you want to make sure the people who are there are, you know, the people that you love, and they want to be there to witness the love that you guys have. And so, like I said, if this makes most sense to you, I accept that. And I'm not, again, I think I was just like more shocked, because I was making a joke out of it. And, yeah, I guess I was just more shocked. And
I didn't say anything.
I wasn't lying. I actually was putting off a lot of my vacation plans in August because I didn't know when the date was. And I kind of had a feeling. So I'm like, well, he hasn't really mentioned anything to me, but I know like other people are talking about it, and I didn't get a save the date or anything. So I'm like, okay, well, I didn't want to make it awkward, but then I was like, he must not have my address or something. But again, like, I get it. It's real life. Shit happens. It's a weird world to be a part of. And I just want you and Ashley to know how much I do vouch for you guys and how much I do adore you guys as a couple.
We know that.
As a stage couple. And I can't wait to see how your love will grow. And
well, thank you for that, Vanessa, and thank you for being so understanding about everything. But I also want to reiterate, I mean, I didn't say anything because we just truly don't know. I don't want to kind of like make false promises. And so that's why I was silent then and kind of, you know, have been silent up to this point, because it's just, it's one of those things where we've been putting off to figure out, you know, the best way to handle the situation. And I think Ashley and I really need to sit down at some point soon, specifically when we're kind of putting that final guest list together, and be like, okay, you know, this is what's happening, this is what we're going to do, so on and so forth. But you, like you said, it is this weird world that we're a part of that has given us so many wonderful things that has really enhanced all of our lives. But also,
well, if I can give you a little bit of, I guess, reassurance and letting you know that if not inviting me is going to give you guys more ease on that day, then do it. Do it.
Well, thank you, Vanessa, for offering that.
And I really do mean that. I do mean that. I mean, I've been part of wedding parties. A lot of people in my surroundings have been married, and there's so many things after they get married, they're like, oh, I wish I didn't do that. Or there's so many things or an emphasis that they put so many emphasis on things that minor details that didn't really matter at the end of the day. And so I know how much of a stressful day it can be. So if that's going to ease the stress, then I don't know what the word is. Like, you have my
blessing.
Blessing. There we go. Yeah.
Well, thank you for that. But yet again, I'll reiterate, we just don't know. I don't think we've really kind of addressed a bunch of different situations, and one being that one.
Vanessa and Jared, why don't we wrap this up and button it up, and you guys can obviously discuss a little bit off air. Maybe we can circle back around to it at a later date. But we do have to end the episode. Thank you guys for being vulnerable and talking about this. I know it's not easy, but...
Jared, I love you.
Yes, at the end of the day, it's all love between all three of us. Big thank you to our listeners out there for taking the listen this week. Big thank you to Ken Page for taking the time to speak with us. Be sure to check his book out, Deeper Dating, and his podcast, Deeper Dating, as well. Big thank you to our sponsors. Big thank you to Mark and Easton, as always. Big thank you to me for celebrating my 28th birthday recently. Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah.
That's the big takeaway from this episode.
You guys are all great. Thank you again once more to the listeners. Be sure to tune in next week when maybe we will suck a little bit less.
Follow Help by Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.